Santa Aurelia LLC pays for this show. The views expressed by the hosts and guests on Inside Track are their own and may not reflect those of KVOI, but they should.
People try to put us to down.
Talking about my generation.
Just because we get around.
Talking about my generation.
Things they do look awful.
Talking about my generation.
Hope I die before I get old. Dig what we all say. I'm not trying to cause a big sensation. I'm just talking about my generation.
Hello, insiders, and a very pleasant good afternoon to you, wherever you may be. This is your host, Bruce Ash, along with co-host
Eb Wilkinson,
welcoming you to a special breaking news edition of Inside Track. Thanks for tuning in today on this absolutely beautiful winter afternoon in Tucson, Arizona. We have an action-packed show today, and we're going to get right to it. NRA Second Vice Chair Willis Lee joins us on the Imus Wilkinson Asset Management Newsmaker line to discuss the reorganization of the National Rifle Association, which was announced yesterday. Willis, are you here with us, buddy?
I'm with you, and good day to you, Bruce and Eb.
Hey, Willis, how are you?
So yesterday, Willis, NRA CEO and Executive Vice President Wayne LaPierre said the reorganization action taken by the NRA yesterday was a, quote, transformational moment in the history of the NRA. Tell our listeners about the action taken by NRA leadership and why this is so important to gun owners and to our Second Amendment rights.
Thank you, Bruce. Thanks, Ed. This is such an exciting time for the NRA, for NRA members, and for freedom, especially where we are in America right now. In fact, this is called Project Freedom. Mm. And our restructuring plan will position us for the future to ensure no one hinders our advocacy for constitutional freedoms. Basically, what it does is it dumps New York, our state of current incorporation, and allows us to seek reincorporation in the state of Texas with a lot of freedom-loving folks and
right.
400,000 NRA members.
Wow. So the domicile for the corporation, the NRA corporation, will be domiciled in Texas under their laws and jurisdiction. Has any decision been made as to headquarter location at all?
Yes, a decision has been made that we're going to look at it. So it's possible we'll move. It's possible we won't. We're looking at if it wasn't an entire move of our headquarters, which is currently in Northern Virginia, then we may move parts of the organization or parts several functions down to another state. You know, just as a reminder, we've had 16 or 17 states attorneys general come out in strong support of our action against the tyrannical New York government and their attorney general. And invite us to come to their state. So we're looking at all our options right now, to include perhaps staying in Virginia, but wherever else we could go.
So the state of New York, and I hate to use this allegory, they've weaponized their laws against gun owners and have been trying to cancel out the NRA and the tens of millions of Americans who really depend upon their right to defend themselves, hasn't it?
Well, let's remember that the vast majority of people in New York, NRA members in New York, are great people, mostly out of the city. But the politicians have weaponized their legal and regulatory powers so that they can come after a political opponent simply because they don't agree with their position. That's just strictly not fair within the American system. So we're going to somewhere, Texas, where we expect a fair shake, and we know people will appreciate the contributions of the NRA.
Hey, Willis, I got a quick question. This comes at a really great time because it basically cuts the legs out of Letitia, whatever her last name is. How are you able to keep this quiet?
We've been working on this for a little while as one of the options, but tell you the truth, we finally came to the point of realizing that in New York, with the political system they have there between a corrupt governor and a very deranged attorney general, we weren't going to get a fair shake, and no conservative organization will, or any freedom-loving organization. So finally, we came up with this option. It's been worked on. But bottom line is, the folks who needed to know about it worked on this for a while. And then we finally came to the point where we were able to enact this yesterday.
Mm. Great.
So let's talk about a couple of other things. NRA membership, how is it holding up, after the election? And where do you see the NRA membership being affected, influenced, what have you, from the reorganization that's going on?
Well, with that, I can give you a couple numbers, because I just got an update yesterday.
That's why I asked
you. And it looks good. And I'll tell you, in August of 2020, when Letitia James filed her lawsuit against the NRA, we gained 100,000 new members just online.
Wow.
That's not folks signing up, mailing and things, just online. In this year, since the 1st of January, we've already gained 100,000 members. And in the I don't have yesterday's figures. In the 4 days of this week prior to yesterday, we gained over 10,000 members a day. So we're doing great. But in the big picture, and let me explain this to you, this is the first time in history of our organization that our membership did not get complacent, and we maintained our membership numbers throughout the term of a Republican president. Hmm. Never happened before. So we are doing very well on membership. Patriots are realizing what's happening in America now, and they're coming to the place where they know they can have freedom defended.
And I think it's pretty clear when you look at gun sales and ammunition sales, there really is a fear amongst gun owners. I'm one of them. I mean, I'm looking at all kinds of different options myself for self-defense. They really, all of us feel very, very much at risk with this new administration. I mean, they have pointed Joe pointed the finger gun at all Americans and said, we're out to get your guns, didn't they?
That's part of it, and you're absolutely right. The other part, though, is at the same time, they want to defund the police.
Yes.
And with their socialism, they decided that they're going to empty the jails of criminals. So all of this combines together with riots coming into suburban neighborhoods, where there are, this past year, over 8 million first-time firearms owners. And in fact, NRA programs are best in the business worldwide for education, training, and safety of firearms. And we want them to come to us and learn how to use that firearm and be prepared if they need it.
Is the NRA seeing, with these new firearms owners, Willis, are they seeing more people participating in the different programs, both for kids as well as adults this year?
We are. Well, if one example is just in the past, this is 2020 statistics, but we had a 300% increase in our instructors requesting training materials for first-time firearms owners. So those are manuals, range time, things like that. So there is an increase. What we don't know specifically is of that 8 million new firearms owners, 40% of whom are women, 40% are what we call minorities.
Yeah.
We don't know how that breaks down into the folks coming and getting training, but we know that there's been an enormous increase in folks coming to look for training.
Mm-hmm. Well, I can tell you in Tucson, training is through the roof. Classes are full. I'm getting calls. I'm getting calls on people saying, hey, I need to find ammo. Can you help me?
Well, everybody's asking for ammo
right now. But also the training is through the roof right now.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's good. Now, I'm not an advocate of mandatory training to be able to exercise a constitutional right.
Sure.
However, for responsibility and just for your own peace of mind, being able to protect your family, protect yourself, I would say anybody would want to get trained.
Yeah. Willis, two questions before we let you go. We know that you're extraordinarily busy right now with everything going on. The 2021 convention, still on in Houston in May. What's the story?
We have, because of the shutdowns across the nation and the ongoing issues with the China virus, we've actually slid that annual meeting. It's still in Houston. It's still going to celebrate our 150th year of defending freedom, but now it's going to be at the beginning of September.
Okay.
So everybody, mark your calendars. That's where we'll meet. This year, we celebrate 150 years of history. I am celebrating our next 150 years.
Good for you. Good for you. And one last thing, to support the NRA, to join the NRA, how does one do that?
I encourage everybody, go to NRA.org. You can donate, you can contribute, but in particular right now, NRA.org/forward will give you all the details you need to know about this great new restructuring plan, Project Freedom.
Willis, one more thing. I hope to see you in October if you can make it this year.
Absolutely. I'm looking forward to it. It's always a great event. You are such great supporters. And by the way, Bruce Carolyn, in particular, Meadows, our president of the NRA, told me to make sure I gave you a special thanks to you and Eb for all the support you give to Freedom and to the Second Amendment and the NRA.
Right back at her. Thanks very much, Willis. And thanks for joining us today. I know it's a busy day. Hey, this portion of the show has been brought to you by Imus Wilkinson Asset Management, whose baby step approach to your wealth management is designed so you never have to solely depend upon socialized security. Call Eb at 777-1911. Eb and I will be right back after the break. Newly elected Pima GOP Chair Shelley Keis will take a few moments out from the big GOP retreat she's helping lead today. You're listening to Inside Track. We'll be right back. Jamie Kipper and her father, Gary Kipper, from Tucson Iron and Metal. What are they going to see when they come through the gates?
So when they come on in, they'll see our building up front. People have free rein to then go out and look in the yard. So it's not a typical scrapyard with a ton of big machinery. We have a couple of forklifts around, but that's about it, just to help move material. So when you come in, it's all organized by material, whether it's square tubing, angle iron, roofing, and then there is a pile in the back, which is still organized and easy to get through, but that's stuff that comes over from the scrap. So we're unique in that we get stuff in from the scrap, which a lot of artists and people will like or reuse, whether it's a sink that someone needs for their house. We sell literally anything made of metal.
Tucson Iron and Metal Surplus. Call 209-1579. Stop by the yard, 701 East 36th Street. Open Monday through Saturday.
It's termite season.
And bugs fear the blue trucks from Essential Pest Control.
Go blue at Essential Pest Control. We'll eliminate those bugs, bees, and termites. And stop paying too much to that national provider. Buy local for great service and affordable rates. Call Essential Pest Control because termites fear the blue.
Run for your life.
Call for the blue trucks from Essential Pest Control. 886-3029. That's 886-3029. Or check online at essentialpest.com.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
Wouldn't it be great if political leaders could create that country again? Learn how to do exactly that, one family at a time, with Imus Wilkinson Investment Management. Call me, Eb Wilkinson. IMUSWilkinson.com. 777-1911. 777-1911.
Welcome back to Inside Track. This portion of today's show brought to you by my friends Jamie and Gary Kipper from Tucson Iron and Metal Surplus and Essential Pest Control. These are two great locally owned family businesses you can depend upon. Hey, welcome Pima County Head Republican Shelley Keis. The Pima GOP holding a retreat today. Hope you have a good turnout. What's the main focus of today's retreat, Shelley?
Well, hi, Bruce. Thanks so much for having me on. The main focus today is planning and organizing, and we are having an awesome retreat. I just sent you a picture. Senator David Gowen from Cochise County drove up to swear in all of the new officers of the Pima County Republican Club, and we are talking about everything from a new face on Trunk and Tusk to recruiting PCs and volunteerism, and we are charged.
Shelley, Eb here. I just peeked at Bruce's phone. Great photo.
Yeah, it's nice. And lots of different faces. You know, the group is different, a lot different than the last board. It's great to see the diversity. It's great to see a lot of new faces. Tell me, the GOP made some news over the past several days in a way that wasn't necessarily welcomed. Tell us about the leftist damage to the HQ.
Well, you know, on the evening, sometime on the night of January 6th, somebody came by and threw a rock through the door of the Pima GOP. And then I guess it was about a week later, 6 nights later, they came through, and I came back and threw two rocks. And this time they shattered a 4x8 piece of glass and a window, the door window.
Any video?
We did not have any video.
Well, that's a tough break. I'm sure you're securing up the location better. And to all of you people out there in our listening audience, give a special note to any of your friends who maybe don't share our political persuasion. You know, we don't go knocking on your doors trying to beat the door down. We don't chase you down the streets. We don't throw rocks at your headquarters. We engage in friendly combat, in political combat, if you will.
Verbal sparring.
That's the war of words, the war of ideas. And this is disgraceful kind of behavior for anybody to do. Hey, so let's get back to organizing and all the things that you're doing at your retreat today. You and I both know that the blocking and tackling about how to win elections really is in organization and planning, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It absolutely is. You need to have the people on the ground, and that's one of the first things that we're addressing. We are filling PC's positions fast and furious. And today when the retreat is over, Bruce, I will be signing PC appointment forms. There's a stack that's probably an inch deep, and we will be getting those over to the elections office this week. We're going to add to our ranks. I know in my district, I'm in Legislative District 2, but I'm in Precinct 84. And in Precinct 84, we actually have people queued up to be PCs.
Nice.
We are at 100% of our allotment. We have people queued up to be PCs. Mm-hmm. So I am really excited about what I'm seeing. You know, people realize that the election was corrupt. It was filled with inconsistencies, fraudulent activity. And they realize that you don't walk away from this. You double down. So you get involved with our party. And
so,
you know what? For those who are looking for a way to get involved, you know what? A financial donation right now would be nice as well.
And how would somebody do that, Shelley?
So you can go online to the Pima County GOP. So PimaGOP.org. And if you go online, you'll find a donation, a button to donate. And you can donate through our secure site. And you can place a donation with the Pima County GOP.
And that's real important. It is a secure site. It's safe to make your gift there. And gifts, whether they're $5 or $500 or $5,000, they're all welcome, aren't they?
They are. They are all welcome. And as we start to redevelop our face of our Trunk and Tusk program, I think people are going to be very, very excited to see our new ideas. So you're going to be able to join our trunk and tusk at different levels, at a bronze level, at a silver level, at a gold level. And of course, we'll always have our Golden Eagles program as well.
Mm-hmm. Pima, Shelley, this is Eb. For those who don't know, what is the Trunk and Tusk program?
Trunk and Tusk is a program where people can support the party and become members of, you know, if you will, a supporting club, and you'll get different benefits at the different levels. But when we have great speakers come in, whether it's Andy Biggs or Congressman Andy Biggs or some of the other speakers that we have, you'll get that opportunity to meet with them one-on-one and talk to them, get your photo taken with them. So it's an opportunity to get a little bit more invested in the party.
What are the levels?
So it's going to be $100 for our bronze level. And in addition to that, we are also putting together, if you don't have $100, you're still really important to the party, and we're going to have an opportunity for you to earn volunteer hours to still be part of our trunk and tusk and apply it to the bronze level. Our silver level is the $275, and our gold is $500.
Low cost of admission to have great access to elected officials like Andy Biggs and Debbie Lesko and David Schweikert. That's a great program. And talking about Congressman David Schweikert, he said on our friend Chris DeSimone's Wake Up Show this week that maybe we Republican volunteers need to spend less time yakking between us in legislative district meetings and club meetings, talking about the Bill of Rights with one another and listening to entertaining stories and so on, and actually get out and talk more to voters about what the Republican Party, what the conservative movement has to offer and our protection of liberties. Don't you agree with him?
I absolutely do agree with him. And in order for us to be able to get out and talk with our voters, we need to be well educated. And that's one of the things that we're looking at. And so in March, we will be doing a program hosted by Sheriff Lamb and Sheriff Daniels of Cochise County and Pinal County. And we will be taking a border tour.
Oh,
so,
wow.
You know, look for that to happen. Look for events. Look for events, a couple of different types of events. Events where we're just going to get together and have fun and be family. And events where we're going to be learning, and events where we're going to be reaching out to our community.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So, Shelley, besides fundraising, which obviously is the main job of any political party chairman, registering more Republican voters and recruiting more PCs has got to be your second most important tasks for you this year. You mentioned the number of new precinct committeemen that are applying. What about beginning voter drives, getting people registered as Republicans?
Well, that's another really important task. And you know what? We have two ladies that are new to our board and relatively new to politics. We've got Cheryl Caswell from LD14, who is in charge of our volunteer program, which includes voter registration. And when I listened to her presentation this morning about some of her ideas and building our volunteer base, not only so that we can get voters registered, but so that we can be poll watchers and so that we can staff events, like whether we're at the fair or at a gun show registering voters, she has got this under control. And it's she has a site called Volunteer, an email called Volunteer, the number 4GOP at outlook.com. Volunteer, the number 4GOP at outlook.com. And that's Cheryl Caswell, a newcomer to our executive board this year. And Annie Zaley, who is our fourth vice chair, she is working and has a whole program in place, everything from redoing our PC handbook to doing online training to doing meet and greets with new PCs to doing face-to-face training. And we have Nolan Reedhead as our first vice chair, and he's going to be even putting together training classes where people will learn how the ins and outs of Robert's Rules of Order so that we can be that law-abiding, rules-following party as we conduct our business. And that'll make our meetings shorter and our time to be out in the community longer. Yeah. That's what we're looking for.
So one last question, Shelley. We're talking with Shelley Keis, Pima County Republican chair. Republicans received way more votes in 2020 than anyone imagined. Steve Christie and Beth Ford won, but we fell short in our other elections. What's the mood of Republicans here in Tucson and throughout the rest of Pima County? What are your observations so far?
So we've seen a couple of things. We've seen some Republicans who are saying, by golly, this is it. I'm going to double down. I want to be a PC. I want to get involved. I want to donate. And we've seen some people who have said, you know what, I'm gonna go register as an independent. And my comment to you, if you're thinking about registering as an independent, the only thing that I can tell you is when you cross over, Bernie Sanders is there waiting for you because that's the best you're going to get. And stick with us. Let's get Republicans elected. We're coming up on redistricting, and we are going to find a way to get a red district here in Pima County and get our voices heard up in not only Phoenix, but also in Washington, D.C.
Shelley Keist, thanks very much. We're going to leave things there for right now. Thanks for joining us. Hey, insiders. Shelley Keist is the real deal. If you want to get involved, Shelley will definitely put you to work. You heard her here. Call party headquarters at 321-1492 and find out how you can make a difference. When we return from the break, we'll be joined by Laura Reese. She's on the phone waiting for us from Heritage. You're listening to Inside Track. Eb and I will be right back after we pay a few bills. Stay tuned. I'm proud to welcome my good friends at Tucson Iron and Metal Retail to Inside Track as an advertiser. Jamie Kipper and her staff are conservation experts. They sell round and square steel tubing, metal plate and roofing materials, as well as new and used steel, aluminum, and stainless steel to ranchers, artists, interior designers, roofers, and do-it-yourselfers, just like all of the listeners here. Tucson Iron and Metal Retail is open Monday through Fridays, 8 a.m. to 4:30 p.m., and Saturdays, 8 a.m. to noon. Tucson Iron and Steel Retail, 701 East 36th Street. Call 520-209-1576 or go to TucsonIronRetail.com. And when you do call, mention this ad and receive an additional 10% discount on their already great prices.
It's termite season.
Bugs fear the blue trucks from Essential Pest Control.
Go blue at Essential Pest Control. We'll eliminate those bugs, bees, and termites. And stop paying too much to that national provider. Buy local for great service and affordable rates. Call Essential Pest Control because termites fear the blue.
Run for your life!
Call for the blue trucks from Essential Pest Control. 886-3029. That's 886-3029. Or check online at essentialpest.com.
I'm Eb Wilkinson with Imus Wilkinson Investment Management. I don't ever want you to be dependent on government ever again. I want you to become financially independent. You will never, ever have to depend on socialist security for your survival. We are here to guide you to financial independence. That's imuswilkinson.com, 777-1911. That's 777-1911.
Welcome back to Inside Track. Eb's here. I'm here. Bruce is here. Our next guest, Laura Reese from Heritage, is waiting on the line. But before we get to hear from Laura, do you have a home improvement project you want to get going in, but you're worried if you can afford the luxury you deserve? Corazon Cabinets sells top quality J&K, Legacy, and Conestoga cabinets. Visit the crew at their new showroom located at 4700 South Park. Meet Joy, Allie, or David to see their fabulous collection and let them plan the kitchen or bath of your dreams. Call Corazon Cabinets at 488-2266. Schedule a visit to the new showroom, Corazon Cabinets, luxury you can afford. Okay, on to our special guest from Heritage, Laura Reese. Laura is a senior research fellow for Homeland Security at the Heritage Foundation. She has over two decades. She doesn't look like she's been around for two decades, but she has two decades of experience in the immigration and Homeland Security arena. Laura twice worked at the Department of Homeland Security on management and immigration policy and operational issues, most recently as the acting deputy chief of staff. Thanks for coming on the show, Laura.
Well, thank you for having me.
Sure. We support the work of Heritage. I just want to talk about Heritage for a second. We support the work at Heritage and encourage all of our listeners to do so. Scholars like Laura Reese are the reason you should support Heritage. I get the Heritage take daily, and you should also bookmark the Daily Signal to hear from Heritage scholars on domestic and international topics. They are smart people, and Heritage supports Americans and our American values. Like I said, Laura, thanks for joining us. Before we get to what I hope will be our main topic on immigration policy, Can we first focus on safety at this week's inauguration? There have been dozens of stories, rumors, reports, theories, what have you, put forth on what is or what isn't going to happen at the swearing-in ceremony this week. You're a recognized homeland security expert. You work in the belly of the beast. What do you think is going to happen on Wednesday besides Joe Biden and Kamala Harris taking the oath and making their speeches?
Well, the many streets are closed down around the Capitol, and there's going to be 25,000 National Guard troops around the Capitol. Many metro stops are closed down. So it is going to be a quieter, if you will, in terms of fewer people than past inaugurations, and certainly I think fewer people than attended the January 6th rally. So security is quite high. As for who will turn out, it's to be determined. The federal Justice Department, they're making many arrests and asking for tips to make more arrests for people who were involved in the Capitol breach on January 6th. So we'll have to see. People are being told to stay home, and the inauguration is going to be largely virtual. So hopefully it will be safe. I think the Capitol Police learned a tough lesson on the 6th, and it won't be repeated.
I want to get this out there for our many listeners. I was attacked on the evening of the inauguration in 2017 and literally had to run for my life lest I be beaten to death by brick-throwing masked leftist rioters just for being a supporter of the new president. I am absolutely opposed to any sort of political violence that suppresses freedom or seeks to harm our new president or destroy our nation and its values. And I know all of our listeners oppose violence of any sort as well. And let's hope Laura and Eb, who's my co-host here, let's hope that Joe Biden focuses on real unity and our citizens' freedom of expression as he moves into the White House. I'm sure that's something we can agree upon, Laura.
Absolutely. Yeah. Violent extremists on either end of the political spectrum need to be stopped.
Yeah, and so you just wrote a piece with Steve Bucci. Is that how I pronounce Steve's last name, Bucci?
Yes, yes.
And it was on the recent D.C. demonstrations, and you opine that the tactics used in these demonstrations on January 6th resembled those from 2020. Can you elaborate for our listeners?
Yes, it's after watching many of the riots throughout the summer and last year in Portland and other cities, some of the same tactics were used in terms of attacking the police, attacking buildings, whether that was using metal pipes to either injure police officers or to break into the buildings or to try and break down barriers. Chemical irritants and other weapons. Lasers were a typical weapon used this past summer, pointed into the eyes of law enforcement officers. The difference is between the riots throughout last year and January 6th is daylight, and that the media would often downplay the violence and the riots throughout 2020, labeling them mostly peaceful.
While fires are blazing in the background.
Exactly, exactly. I mean, anyone with eyes to see could see that it was not peaceful. On January 6th, it was broad daylight and a lot of people were watching. And you had people trying to break into the Capitol with, again, metal pipes, according to the former Capitol Police Chief, chemical irritants and other weapons, breaking through the windows. They were using flagpoles, dressed in black block, helmets. So it just looked quite a bit like Antifa tactics from the summer. Now, January 6th was chaotic. I think there was a little bit of everybody, you know, all groups, all over the place. And many, many just innocent spectators who either couldn't even see because there were so many people what was going on up at front. And you had, in some instances, entrances to the Capitol that were opened up by the police, and the police stood aside, and people were welcomed in. So I think it was kind of all of the above. And it's all still being investigated, and each day we get a question as to whether people were there to intentionally provoke Trump supporters. But, again, more time will tell.
You know, I sort of have the feeling, and I've been trying to think of the words to describe this, but maybe I just thought of them. It really was sort of like a guerrilla war, because everybody was in civilian clothing mainly, and you couldn't tell. People who weren't MAGA supporters and maybe wanted to do harm on the Capitol and so on, they were wearing MAGA hats, but they weren't necessarily supporters of the president. And you had even MAGA supporters who were dressed in an unconventional way that, you know, might have been misinterpreted as leftists. This was a crazy, chaotic sort of a moment, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's right. And day by day, we get a little bit more information. And the American people deserve transparency to know what happened on that day. Was it planned? If so, by whom? But the difference is that last year, many of the riots and looters were not punished. If they were even arrested, they were, you know, let out without bail and not prosecuted. Because unfortunately, there's a number of rogue prosecutors scattered throughout the country at the state and local level. At least with the January 6th events, it's the Justice Department and U.S. attorneys and the FBI who are working on these cases. But there needs to be consistent treatment for violence. All need to be arrested and prosecuted.
Well, over the summer, a number of politicians and celebrities raised money to provide bail for these people.
That's right, including Kamala Harris in Minnesota.
Yeah. So violence begets violence, and if perpetrators aren't brought to justice, what must be done to allow peaceful protest and protect free speech? I mean, isn't bringing violent protesters to stand, you know, for the crimes that they've committed and be put through the justice system? I mean, that must happen, don't you believe?
Yes. Yep. And you're right. Violence begets violence. And I mean, at least in D.C., they are very used to protecting free speech, protecting the right to assemble peacefully, while preventing and eliminating violence. I think on January 6th, there was just a lack of coordination, and they were taken a bit by surprise. So they are used to working with the Secret Service in the Capitol, as well as the Washington, D.C. Metropolitan Police. And like I said, there are 25,000 National Guard troops, so it looks pretty secure.
Yeah.
Up at the Capitol these days.
You know, the other thing, and I'm going to hate to sort of chuckle about this, but I mean, how dumb could you be? People were taking pictures of everybody inside the Capitol. I mean, most of the individuals who've been arrested are based upon the photographic evidence that they themselves published on Twitter and Facebook and were emailing to their friends. I mean, how, if you're going to be a dumb, I won't use the S word describing them, but if you're going to be that stupid, I mean, you almost deserve the whatever punishment you get for crying out loud.
Yeah, especially
yeah,
Bison
I think,
Boy.
Yeah, I think young people who are so used to social media and posting, you know, every little minute detail or activity they do, this has come back to bite them, and they look like dumb criminals, and it's always good to have dumb criminals.
How many people do you think showed up to the president's speech that day?
I don't know. I don't know the number, but it was very, very large, and that's somewhat surprising for the Capitol Police to be taken by surprise on the numbers and the turnout, because they knew this rally was coming for weeks. And there are conflicting reports about now, you know, what intel was known ahead of time, and you've got various law enforcement and the Defense Department kind of pointing fingers at each other saying, you know, we asked for this help and you declined, and timelines and the like. So, again, this, it's going to take a little more time for all this to shake out. I saw today there was an internal U.S. Capitol Police intelligence report that came out 3 days before the riot, saying Congress itself could be targeted by protesters. So there's still just a lot of conflicting information.
Knowing what you know now, what advice would you have given?
To have more law enforcement officers at each of the entrances, better communications among the law enforcement officers and chain, you know, command, and to be sufficiently equipped to deal with weapons, whether, you know, obvious weapons or, you know, not so obvious weapons like flagpoles, but to be ready for it.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, so many of the demonstrations and Trump-supporting rallies have turned into, particularly at night again, small numbers of confrontations. I mean, think about Outhouse after, during the summer, during the campaign, and Trump supporters were attacked. So
right.
It didn't take really any imagination to plan or know that that was a real possibility on the 6th.
The thing that probably is going to end up happening from this event on January 6th, Laura, I think you'd have to agree, is the Capitol is going to be a much more armed location, and it'll be more difficult to get into and move around. What has been the People's House is going to change a lot, just like, you know, things happen on airliners and so on after 9/11 and some of the other changes that have taken place over the years. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, I mean, particularly if there's going to be large rallies.
Sure.
I don't know how much operations will change just kind of on a regular day or day-to-day operations,
yeah.
Maybe a little bit, but certainly for large demonstrations.
All right, well, moving on. The incoming president, Joe Biden, appears to be ready to execute on Obama immigration policy 2.0. Can you begin to kind of lay his plan out for us? As you say,
yes, it will look a lot like the Obama administration. They're going to work with Congress to introduce legislation right away that would give DACA recipients. These are the Dreamers. It's a subset of the Dreamers to give them green cards, as well as temporary status. Recipients green cards. It would give amnesty to the whatever number of illegal immigrants who are here, and you see a range of 11 million to over 20 million, as well as speed up the process for getting U.S. citizenship. So a whole host of issues, all of which are concerning. And one in particular that doesn't have to do with legislation is, what are they going to do on the southwest border? The Trump administration creatively and wisely started a program called the Remain in Mexico program, which Congress had authorized. It's in statute back in 96, and it's never been used before, that says if you're going to come to the U.S. border and claim fear, it's not your ticket to get into the U.S. anymore. You got to go wait for your court date on the Mexican side of the border. And when people realized they could no longer get into the U.S. and just disappear by claiming fear, the caravan stopped.
Right.
And so during the campaign, Joe Biden said he was going to stop that day one. He's since backpedaled and said, well, maybe 6 months. Because he too realizes and has said, I don't want 2 million people at the border. And so as soon as he stops that program, because he will be under considerable pressure from his left flank to stop that program. When he does, and when the Title 42 health authorization due to COVID ends, he's going to own the next border crisis.
Yeah, I think you're right about that.
Yeah.
Laura, I've long said that immigration policy with the Democrats and the left is more of an election strategy. You and Mike Howell wrote an article for the Daily Signal piece on January 12th, and you said it's no coincidence that the open borders lobby has found a permanent home with leftists. It means more pure political power, and look no further than California as Exhibit A. Those are true words that you've written with Mike.
Yes, I mean, there are, it makes for strange bedfellows, but, and the accelerating the path to U.S. citizenship is an example, because Democrats view it as immigrant population, be it legal or illegal, as future Democratic voters, which means more power for Democrats. And so you have, if you look at the large unions, decades ago, they used to oppose illegal immigration, but they have since turned and decided it's better for their ranks, which means more power for the big unions. And, you know, they are for easing immigration laws and making it easier to come here. So there are many different types of organizations that have sided on that side of the issue.
So you also wrote, President-elect Joe Biden has a long record of calling for unlimited immigration. In 2015, he was recalling a conversation that he had with a former president of Singapore about what separates America. He said it was an unrelenting stream of immigration, nonstop, nonstop. He had previously expressed this desire, you wrote, to the National Association of Manufacturers, where he said that the constant, unrelenting stream of immigrants into the U.S. was the basis for our economic strength. He emphasized that he wanted not dribbling amounts, but significant flows. And when this happens, and again, I've heard you speak about this. You're in a group panel a while back. The impact that has on education, on health, on Social Security, all these parts of of our country that we depend upon. Just a crush if there's 11 to 22 million all of a sudden new citizens to this country, right?
Yes, and Americans are very generous, and we continue to have the most generous immigration system in the world. But as a sovereign nation, we have the right to have an orderly immigration system, not a chaotic one. And we should be enforcing our immigration laws just like we enforce any other laws. Yet we seem to be the only country that gets criticized for doing so. And so you never hear the left encourage people to come here legally. You never hear them tell families in Central America, don't make the dangerous journey to come here. Don't bring your children here. And so while the Trump administration and conservatives try to make legal immigration better, the left just tries to make illegal immigration easier.
Yeah, more preferable. So what's your take, Laura, on the incoming president's appointments related to our immigration policies at DHS, Customs and Border Patrol, ICE, and so on? How do you grade them?
So he has nominated Ali Mayorkas to be the Secretary of Homeland Security. And in the Obama administration, Mr. Mayorkas was first the director of U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services. He was very much a micromanager. He personally was involved in the implementation of DACA. He encouraged adjudicators to adjudicate cases quickly, which there's a fine line there. I mean, you don't want it to lag. Anyone who's gone through the immigration process, understands how difficult and lengthy and slow it is. On the flip side, if you encourage adjudicators to just do them quickly, and you get fraud in many cases. Then Ali Mayorkas became the Deputy Secretary of Homeland Security. So he certainly has experience within the department and immigration experience. It's why Joe Biden picked him. But people are concerned with a real shift away from immigration enforcement, from Customs and Border Protection and Immigration and Customs Enforcement, or ICE, allowing them to really do their jobs and focusing much more on granting immigration benefits.
Yeah. So there have been voices within the Democratic Party leadership and in the left by their supporters about defunding police and abolishing ICE and the Border Patrol. It seems unlikely that this would happen, but in a time when so many different things are happening that nobody ever anticipated, how likely is it that there could be severe defunding of our border security and our immigration policing?
Yes, unfortunately, ICE and CBP are being treated by the left as they are treating law enforcement across the country. And already, just within ICE, the Democrat Congress, the House, has shifted funding towards something called Alternatives to Detention, and then has placed oversight of funds for that in the Office of Civil Rights and Civil Liberties. So you will see much less detention and much less enforcement. And the Department of Homeland Security just put out a very good report that I commend your audience to check out. It was issued on December 31st, and it's the enforcement life cycle of immigration cases from FY 2014 through 2019. And I want to say something like 4% of the encounters who were detained the entire time were ultimately returned to their home country. And for those who were not detained, then the majority are still here in the U.S. or do not have a confirmed departure. So detention works. And unfortunately, we're just not going to see a lot of that under a Biden administration.
Laura, we're almost up on the end of the show. I have to ask you the question. It's unlikely that even at a split Senate that the Democrats are going to get 60 votes to end debate and to go on to a vote on some of these immigration policies. Does that mean that the Biden administration will continue to run immigration through executive order?
Yeah, I think that will be the same result, just as President Obama did and just as President Trump did. Congress hasn't passed major immigration legislation since 1996 because the bills become so massive, you can't, like you said, you can't get 60 votes on all of it, and so it just dies of its own weight. Unfortunately, there are a few small things, well, I shouldn't say small, they're important, but they're individual items that we do need Congress to pass to fix some major loopholes on immigration. But I am not optimistic that they will pass a bill because they don't pass single-issue bills.
Well, we're going to wrap it up there. You wrote at the conclusion of your January 12th article with Mr. Howell what some will say might be nativism, but a lot of others will say it must never happen in America. You said, Americans and lawful immigrants want our immigration laws enforced and our borders secured. Yet we are on the verge of having neither, with the White House and Congress under single-party leadership. It will be up to the American people to frequently and loudly voice their opinion that open borders and amnesty are wrong for America. And quite a time we live in, and that's where we're going to leave it today. Thank you, Laura Ries from Heritage. Please support Heritage. The revolution started that we started in 1776 and revived again in 2016 is alive through men and women of Heritage like Laura Ries. Laura is one of the leading intelligent voices for sound immigration policy. So thank you very much for joining us today, Laura.
Thanks for having me.
You bet. And thanks to GOP Chair Shelley Keis for joining us and good friend Defender Willis Lee. Until next Saturday, when author Peter Wood joins us to discuss his new best-selling book, 1620, A Response to the 1619 Project, joins us. This is Bruce Ash
and Eb Wilkinson
wishing you a very pleasant good afternoon. Customers come first at Tucson Iron and Metal Surplus. What other kind of customers do you have?
So our biggest customers are actually like ranchers and people from outside of the Tucson area. They're buying a lot of square tubing. They're buying a lot of stuff for their ranch to close off fences.
We'll sell anything from 10 feet to 10,000 feet to somebody that comes in because we have new steel and surplus steel from steel mills. The reason we're able to get such good pricing on some of this stuff is, A, we sell scrap to the mill. So we have a relationship there, and then we can buy material, what they're making, bringing it back. And so we save on freight, and we have relationships for years with them. So I think that's really our niche market. We'll sell whatever you need.
Tucson Iron and Metal Surplus. Call 209-1579. Stop by the yard, 701 East 36th Street. Open Monday through Saturday.
What your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
Wouldn't it be great if political leaders could create that country again? Learn how to do exactly that, one family at a time, with Imus Wilkinson Investment Management. Call me, Eb Wilkinson. imuswilkinson.com, 777-1911, 777-1911.